I don't think that it's really tolerable for us to be operating in a democracy where one of the strongest levers on our future is completely out of our reach in terms of discussion. What I mean is that I think that there is an opportunity for more information, and the Reserve Bank can push back.
Hello, I'm Robert Ash, and you're listening to another Green Party podcast. Today we're talking about banks. Are we being ripped off by our banks? The official cash rate, the cost of money to banks, has fallen 5.75%, but mortgage and credit card rates have fallen significantly less. Are they hoarding profits while everyone else suffers? I decided to invite Finlay Thompson, a mathematician currently working as an ecological statistician and a banking reform advocate, to have an open discussion with Green Finance spokesperson Russell Norman on the state of fair play with our banks. Russell, do we have a problem here? Do we have a competitive banking industry?
I think Kiwi Bank has made it more competitive than it was. But if you look at, you know, the Reserve Bank's analysis of floating mortgage rates, which suggests that they do seem to be unexpectedly high, when you look at what's happened with credit cards, which don't seem to have moved much at all in terms of lowering the cost of credit cards, it does suggest to me that it's an open question as to whether we have a fully competitive banking system. And, you know, when you've got four very large players who are very accustomed to working with each other, and they do it right across the Australasian market, you know, in a sometimes competitive, sometimes cooperative mode, I think it wouldn't be at all surprising if you saw some kind of non-competitive behaviour. So I think it's a question.
I put it to both of you, do we need a banking inquiry?
Well, I was very disappointed when the Select Committee inquiry was dropped. I thought that seemed like an ideal opportunity for a publicly mandated body, Select Committee, to ask some more difficult questions from the Reserve Bank and the banking sector at large to answer exactly this question. And so, yes, I think we do need an inquiry.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely need an inquiry. We're going to have an inquiry of sorts. It won't be a full Select Committee inquiry, but it'll be a partial Select Committee inquiry, I guess. Some of the parties within the Select Committee will get together, carry out some kind of inquiry, but it would have been much better to have a proper Select Committee inquiry just for the reasons Finlay outlined. I mean, I think it then... It does open, though, I think, where we go next, which is the bigger question of why is New Zealand so dependent on all this imported capital? Because whatever argument you follow, the underlying thing is we are totally, you know, because of a massive current account deficit, because of a housing boom, we are just dependent on the external capital markets, and it makes us incredibly vulnerable. And when we've got net debt now approaching 100% of GDP, I think it leaves us incredibly vulnerable as a country.
So I can just see an inquiry is going to be held. It'll probably find, similarly to the Reserve Bank statement, that there is some question marks around current mortgage rates and so forth. What's the way forward once we get that result? How do we reform our banks so they deliver the competitive interest rates and credit card rates and so forth?
Well, I thought about this a lot a few years ago and abandoned thinking about it because I felt there wasn't a political situation to allow any changes. Currently, we have a more open discussion, but I think the first step has to be an opening of the books. At the moment, we have a situation where Reserve Bank and bank economists tell us what the situation is without actually showing us really the data that backs it up. There are plenty of people in this country that could analyse the data and could vouch for it. Classic example is funding. You know, the banks all say they're getting funding from offshore markets, but we don't know what the percentage of that is. We don't know how much they're getting from short-term loans that are being renewed every week and how much they're getting from longer-term loans. We don't know how much they're getting from depositors that are just resident in New Zealand and have large deposits. We don't know the structure, the demographic structure of those deposits. I don't think that it's really tolerable for us to be operating in a democracy where one of the strongest levers on our future is completely out of our reach in terms of discussion. What I mean is that I think that there is an opportunity for more information, and the Reserve Bank can push back at the banks and say, yes, we want, they're mandated under legislation to require the banks to provide them more information. The Department of Statistics, various government agencies are very, it's a very common requirement to anonymize and to protect the individual commercial interest of individual banks. So we can deal with that issue as it arises, but it shouldn't stop the whole discussion. I think that the only way to get the Reserve Bank to actually push in that direction is to have the Reserve Bank mandated in a strong way by a publicly elected authority like Parliament. So that's why I think that the, you know, this new inquiry, in so much as it doesn't actually push for more data, won't get any more information.
So Finlay, you mentioned that banks rely heavily on borrowing from overseas. Why do we have this current situation? What are people typically borrowing for in New Zealand that's leading to all this money having to come from offshore?
After the 1980s reforms, we allowed the commercial banks to lend as much as they like. It was actually a very early experiment with that way of operating a banking sector. Most countries in the 80s continued to have reserve ratios. New Zealand didn't. We saw a sudden increase in the amount of bank credit from 1984 through 87 that was fed into a speculative markets in both commodities and in the stock market, resulting in and there was a crash in 87, as we all know. And then subsequently, our funding has gone into the housing market almost exclusively. So we see the housing market has grown and grown and grown in a way which is incredibly debilitating to our economy. I think the problem isn't so much that headline figure, this is the amount of debt. The problem is the massive misallocation of resources that that represents. While we've been pouring money into the economy, it's all been going into speculative housing operations, which haven't actually improved the stock of our houses. We continue to have terrible houses. It hasn't gone into building up any long-term, ongoing productive sectors in our economy. So now we don't have a return for that investment. I think that has been largely because of the irresponsibility of the banking sector. They would argue that it's a demand-driven thing, that the housing sector in New Zealand has asked for the money and they've just given it, but I don't think they can claim to have no responsibility. The situation in the United States, where banks have provided an enormous amount of liquidity to poor housing markets, has resulted in banks falling over.
Russell, are you concerned about another housing boom just around the corner?
Yeah, I think another housing boom would be a disaster. I mean, we've set up the tax system to basically privilege these kinds of investments, and so it's not surprising that people are kind of throwing their money into them. So, I mean, I think one of the things we need to do is obviously change the tax system, which is about capital gains tax on investment properties. I mean, the Green Party policy is a capital gains tax excluding the primary family home, and then also putting some kind of ring fencing or restrictions around all the losses that can be made on investment properties. Because currently the tax system basically encourages people to invest in property. And like Finlay said, it's just means we've got this huge debt for no good reason. I mean, what is the benefit for all of us to have these massively inflated house prices? And the social consequences are quite significant as well. I mean, people struggle to get into the housing market.
And for me, more than that, actually, is the fact that the investment has taken resources away from people operating in more productive sectors. The investment has happened there, not in developing agriculture, developing light industry, in developing and supporting all of the numerous industries that could flourish in New Zealand should there be an investment framework that actually rewarded that.
Yeah,
I agree with you about the tax policy. I think the thing about the capital gains tax, which is embarrassing in New Zealand, that we don't have a capital gains tax. Internationally, it's ridiculous. But I think it has to be targeted at killing a speculative property market. That has to be its purpose. One of the problems with capital gains taxes in other jurisdictions is that they are seen as a revenue gathering opportunity and frequently slightly miss the mark in terms of there being too many loopholes, there being too many. So if it was seen as primarily the objective, and this has to be a political objective, is to kill property speculation. Now, that's not the same as property development. That's fine. Property speculation is a problem. It's highly unproductive and should be discouraged by our tax system, not encouraged.
Is a capital gains tax politically feasible? Labour thought about introducing a capital gains tax when they were in government, but they lacked the political will to do so. Do you think the current financial crisis is such that there might be a new political will out there to go for a capital gains tax?
I'd like to think so, but there, so far it hasn't been that encouraging. I'm sure Labor are toying with the idea, and there must be people in National toying with the idea too. It make it so obvious. But, I mean, I think if you're going to do it, I mean, now's the time, you know, if you've got a flat housing market, now's a good time to do it. You know, it's like there aren't going to be any great capital gains unless the housing market takes off again. There's not likely to be huge capital gains in the next couple of years. So it's not a bad time to bring it in. And I think it's also important that when you bring it in, you make it clear to people that, you know, it starts from now. So if you've made capital gains on your investment properties in the past, well, good luck to you. That was the rules at the time, and fair enough. But the rules, the new rules start today, so any further capital gains you'd get taxed on, but not the capital gains you've already made, because otherwise I think that would be politically impossible to do it that way.
I agree with that now is the opportunity, there's no question, and it has to be really soon because of the fact that the market is trying to rebound into that mode that everybody's familiar with bank managers and individuals with deposits accruing, and they're thinking, what are we going to do? Oh, let's put the money into property again, which is cultural norm in New Zealand, and I think something has to be done quickly. There is an interesting political trade-off. One of the main reasons why the Reserve Bank says, well, one of the main reasons that the economic commentators say that we shouldn't lower the interest rates further is because we don't want to spark off a housing boom. So let's deal with that housing boom spark off problem with a capital gains tax to allow us to drop the interest rates further in order to support people who are currently already in the market and already paying mortgages. So rather than seeing it as a negative thing, capital gains tax is a negative concept for most people. Rather than seeing it in that way, you see it as a way of allowing us to actually support young families with large mortgages.
I mean, I agree with that. I mean, it's also about targeting the policy to the problem.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, let's have a policy which specifically targets the housing boom, rather than high interest rate policy, which effectively squashes all sorts of economic activity that you might want, like particularly makes it hard for small businesses that are trying to pay off loans, and also has the other effect of propping up the dollar and making it harder for the tradable sector, which has been in recession now, what, for 5 years or something. A high currency strategy, which is effectively what a high interest rate strategy becomes, means that you make it much, much harder for the New Zealand tradable sector. Let's target the housing market directly.
That was Russell Norman, Green Party co-leader, and Finlay Thompson, a mathematician and finance reform advocate. And you've been listening to the weekly Green Party podcast. This podcast, along with others, is available at www.greens.org.nz/audio. Thanks for listening. Next week, we'll be saving the planet.